Okay, it's 12 o'clock, time to start our session. I welcome you to the Office 365 101 session. My name is Samuel Zürcher. I work in SharePoint since quite a while and work in a company called Experts Insight. And Experts Insight is using cloud resources. And of course, also over time, we became more and more cloud adopted, not in using it, but also in delivering solutions. And Office 365 became one of the most important growth topics in our portfolio. Why is it? It's clear we made some progress in how we deal with information. We had first very big data centers with very few capacity, and then we had our personal computers. And today we have our small things, our smartphones, having more calculation power and more abilities to do things than we had in these big iron blocks we had below our tables. So the next generation will be consuming information on different devices everywhere where I am when I have an internet connection. I'm using IT and I'm a fan of IT since I'm a little boy, so I saw the whole change, how IT was growing and how we dealt with IT from a very, very early point on. So my first computer I bought together with my dad was 5,000 Swiss francs, and we could do some text calculation things, not really big stuff. I bought a floppy drive for like 800 Swiss francs, 3.5 inches, that I could share games with my colleagues. So it was quite expensive. And today I buy a mini computer. It also costs still 800 to 1200 bucks, depending on what device I buy. But I can do much, much more with a very, very simple and easy device. And also internet connection is a big deal. I remember the sound of doo-doo-doo. Anybody remembers that? So we were connecting to the internet, analog, then digital. Then we had broadband internet. That was a very, very big deal. My first broadband internet was like 512 megabytes, and I was like, woohoo! And today, if I have only 512 megabytes, I am quite unhappy about that. So, also, the growth in connectivity made it possible that we are going now into a cloud step where we say, hey, why do we need some wires directly in our basement and there's some hardware? Why could not our hardware stand anywhere in the world? And because we have so much internet connectivity today, do everything remotely and bring the things together in one place. That's what we are going to deal with today. I will show you what Office 365 is, where the hardware of Office 365 is, because yes, we still have hardware. Yes, we still have calculation centers. Yes, we still have the network. But it looks a little bit different than if I have it in my home at the basement. And I will also show you how to deal with identities, how to work with Office 365, OneDrive for Business, SharePoint, Exchange. And at the end, I will show a little bit about the management possibilities. So, first of all, how we work today is we want to be flexible and we want to have many devices, and I would like to work on my workstation at home, save a document, run to the car, jump on the train, pull out my laptop, and go on working with the same document. And that's only possible if I have a storage that is somewhere centrally managed and gives me the ability to be much more flexible and mobile. So Office 365 mainly at least started with the Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, and Link Online. Today we have other things like Yammer or even the Customer Relationship Management tool of Microsoft coming into the same stack, being different products, but still being at the end one subscription so that I can have many, many services out of one place. We have also the Office Pro Plus. Office Pro Plus is the possibility to install always the latest Office package. We are short before the release of Office 2016. And how we deploy Office could change quite much when you try to push out your Office, not as you were doing it until now, but with a subscription of Office 365. Then we have also the project server that we had as an integration into SharePoint as an online service. So you can use Project Online to have your project portfolio management. And of course, there are also services like Visio to make dashboards, connect the Visio to your data, and show it nicely on your web page. What are the benefits of Office 365? Well, if you are using infrastructure that is in your basement, you have to have space, you have to have the current, you have to have security, you have to have maintenance, you have to change servers and hard disks and stuff like that. If you have online service, you don't have to deal with that anymore. Now you might say, oh, if I give away my hardware, what about my job? I will rationalize myself away. That was always the big fear, that if we move to the cloud, that we as engineers will not have any work anymore. But I see the opposite happening with the possibilities we get having cloud resources. We just shift our knowledge. So now I have to say, yes, I think people that do not want to change knowledge, to shift their focus to new things, they might lose their job. But they would also lose their job if they were in another place, because markets are changing, and if we are not changing with the markets, we will stay someday alone and have no job. That was also in the Industrial Revolution like that. If they were not changing the focus from I do my own screws and I do my own tools to, okay, we have an ISO norma that gives us the tools and sizes of screws and stuff like that, then I would someday not have a job anymore, because the things I build are not bought by the customers. Using cloud resources also gives me security and reliability. Why do I say security? That's always a big discussion. Are cloud resources secure? I would say yes and no. Cloud resources is such a big word, you have to be more specific. If you ask me, is Office 365 secure? I would say yes, definitely. That's no question. If you ask me, is some, I give you my cloud.com service secure? I would say, well, probably not. So cloud isn't cloud. So if you talk about cloud services, you have to be specific of what cloud services you are speaking. I had quite a big discussion with several people about security, and I always tell them the same. I tell them, look, Microsoft has a hacker team that does hacking every day to all their services to see if they can break anything. Their job is to try to break in somewhere, to steal some data, to find holes, and of course then to tell the engineers what to do against possible attack places. And Microsoft even has a program where everybody can go and try to hack their Office 365 service, and if they can do it, they are rewarded and they get money from Microsoft. So I don't know many other companies that have these possibilities. And I always also say, look, who can make things more secure than the company that built it? So it's all built on Windows. It's all built on the Microsoft software stack. And Microsoft built that stack so they can also make sure it is secure. How does a data center of Microsoft look like? This is one of the pictures of one of Microsoft's data centers. And they have quite a few data centers spread all over the world. So that's the footprint of data centers of today. And they are even building more and more. So it could even already be outdated. Then there are some content delivery networks that do some caching and make sure that the data is also fast spread throughout the world, even if my data is lying somewhere in the United States or in Europe or in Asia, I should be able to have my data quite quickly also on the other side of the world. So they have content delivery and networks that help to make sure that this data is spread. And of course, they are also connected with each other, exchanging data every time, every second of the day. If we then zoom in into one part of a country, we will look, it will look like this. We still have the data centers. Then we have the edge nodes, the content delivery networks. But then also we have these so-called metro solutions that are connecting also internet service providers directly to the customer so that Microsoft can be with their services very, very close to the last mile so they can make sure that you as a customer can also have a direct line to the data centers of Microsoft called Express Route. That's very new. You cannot just go and say, I would like to have Express Route. Do you need some seats to make sure that you also need an Express Route? So you could even go then directly into the network of Microsoft. How does it look like inside of a data center? We have, of course, still some IT load. We have currency security via UPS. We have the whole cooling system. And of course, this all also needs some water to do the cooling for the IT load. And this also, of course, needs some currency. And this is then measured in power usage effectiveness. This means of my power that I need, how much is it to power the IT equipment, and how much is it to power the facility. And the lower that PUE is, the better is the performance, because we should use the power to power the computers and not to feed the environment. So if we have like 50 small data centers, it's much less effective in electricity than if we have one big data center. If you have a PUE of 2.0, that means 50% goes to the IT, 25% is going to the cooling, and 25% is going to the building itself. So if you have a newer generation data center with a PUE of 1.4, you can use 71% of the electricity to power the IT, and you have only 29% that you need for the building and cooling and everything was together with that. Microsoft made a quite a big progress in data centers. The generation 4 data center goes down to 1.05 PUE. So that most of the power is going to the IT and only very, very little is going to the environment. That's an example of a generation 4 data center. That's for, just for the completeness of the slides. You will get the slides later on that you can see how this is built together. So where do we find now Office 365 within these data centers? Office 365 is somehow separated to the rest of the data centers. It's like a data center in the data center. It has its own hardware, but it shares the network and it shares also the storage. What are the possibilities that we have on services? The baseline is the single service, like SharePoint, like Exchange, like Link. And the service plans I can put together like SharePoint Plan 1 and SharePoint Plan 2. Gives me some possibilities, or Exchange Plan 1 and 2 gives me some possibilities. And the SKUs, that's then at the end the put together of a whole service stack. So for example, Enterprise 3 means I have a Link online plan to Exchange online plan to SharePoint online plan to, and I have Office 365 Pro Plus. So you can stack it together as a one package. There are enterprise plans. There are also school plans for schools. There are small business and medium business plans. And they all come together with a different setting and a different cost and have other limitations. For example, with the small business plan, it's very easy to have also the office deployment so that you can have the office applications installed to your laptops, and Office Online to have Office in the browser. It costs very few, but you can have maximum of 300 licenses. If you want to have the same for 500 licenses, you would have to take E3, that is three times the price per user. But that gives also a possibility to small businesses to have lots of services for a lower price, and very big enterprises, it will be a little bit more expensive to have the same, but then you can have 10,000 seats or 50,000 seats, as many as you want. How do the layers look like of Office 365? One, we have the services itself. The services deliver functionality, like mail, like OneDrive for Business, file sharing, things like that. Then you have the platform service. So how do I do authentication? Where do my identities are saved? How do I do the billing? Where is my credit card saved? And so on. And then we have the portal part for the management. So how can I manage my Office 365 subscription? Where are my services? Who are my users? Now I would like to give a little demo of that, that you can see what I'm talking about. I am logged in. No, you don't see it. So, just a second. I'm logged in here to the Office 365 portal. We have an enterprise E3 subscription, so we have more or less all the services that you can have. If you enter to the portal, you see on the left side your possibilities to navigate through the portal. We go through a little bit in detail later on in that session. And for example, I can show you here the active users of our company, and you could search on them or do actions on them. Quite more important, here we have the services. Exchange, Skype for Business, SharePoint, CRM, Yammer, and so on. And from here, I could go now and manage the services. Also, this I will show you a little bit later. And what I want to show you additionally is here in the billing. Here you can see, for example, the subscriptions I was talking about. So what subscriptions do we have here at Experts Insight? You can see we have quite a few. We have CRM Online, we have the Office 365 E3 plan, we have Power BI for SharePoint and Yammer, we have Project and Project Online, and we have Project Professional and Visio Professional. So we have quite some licenses that we can use, and mostly we use the licenses today for demos. We get them with the gold partner status that we have, so we don't use everything. Our company is too small to have a project management portfolio with automatic efficiency calculation for your projects as far as they align to your business needs. So, or we can have here, that's also quite interesting, we can have the service health, where is it? Well, service health, here I can see, oh, how is my Office 365 performing? Hello, not purchase service, service health. Did I click the wrong button, probably? You can, of course, always purchase or release services. There is always either you pay by month or you pay by year. By year, it's a little bit less expensive, but you can only, of course, then cancel a subscription after a year, or you buy it by month, then it's a little bit more expensive, and you can cancel it at the end of every month. But now let me quickly again try to show the service health. This is how service health looks like. You have here a list of all the services and their state. And if you have some special event, then you have information or you have a status service is being recovered. And you have the detail of that information. For example, if there is a planned maintenance and you could have some outages in the services. Of course, there is no sheet where you can say, I would like to have some maintenance by then and then, and not by then and then. It's a cloud service. It's maintained when it's maintained, and Microsoft dictates the maintenance. But the outages of the services are very close to zero, so it's not actually fully the same as if you patch some servers in your basement. It's a little bit different, and Microsoft is also coming now more and more with the so-called zero downtime patching that will also be in SharePoint Server 2016. That means you will run patches and updates fully in production during the day like they do it in their data center. Good. To have a good service, you need a good identity management. Also, in Office 365, you have several options how you deal with identities. And the basic of identity management since quite some time is the Windows Azure Active Directory. As you might have heard, you can also now have a Windows 10 device and connect it to the Windows Azure Active Directory, meaning you don't have to have the people come back and connect to your network to get the newest policy updated, but you can also have them log on to the Azure Active Directory and then get your company policies. That's very useful for people that are traveling around a lot. So what is Azure Active Directory? It's actually an Active Directory in Windows Azure. So what has it to do with Office 365? Office 365 and many other cloud resources. I will talk about that tomorrow in another session. Use Azure Active Directory for authentication. And you have several options to use it for. Office 365 uses it as it would, as SharePoint on-premise would use your local Active Directory to store all your identities and to authenticate against. So you have some interface to the Azure Active Directory where you can see your people that you have in the directory. You can have several instances. It's the basic Active Directory or a premium, up to the premium Active Directory, and it comes more and more possibilities, of course, with a higher grade of the Azure Active Directory. So the first you have in Office 365 are cloud identities. They are stored in Windows Azure Active Directory and used to connect to Office 365. So for all the services that you get out from Office 365, it's going back to Azure Active Directory to authenticate and gives you back then, of course, your service. How do we create these online identities? For a small company with five people that never have had Active Directory on-premise, you could just use a spreadsheet and import it into Azure Active Directory and start using Office 365. Mostly, this is not the case. Mostly, you have some Active Directory on-premise, and of course, you would like to reuse these identities to connect to the Office 365 service. There is a very, very simple thing I will show also tomorrow a little bit more in detail in my hybrid session. You can connect your Active Directory with directory synchronization to the Windows Azure Active Directory. It's a very small part of software. I think it's not even 100 megabytes. You can download it from free from Microsoft. You have to install it on some other machine, but it doesn't need to be a strong machine. It can be a weak machine. It can be a machine where also is shared with other services. It needs internet connection, and it needs, of course, connection to your Active Directory. And then you can synchronize your Active Directory users to the Azure Active Directory. And there is an option to have also the password synced. So that doesn't mean that the password itself will be synced to Office 365, but the hash will be synced to Office 365. So there is never some password transformation between on-premise and the cloud, but you can then start already to use Office 365 with your own password. As soon as you change your password on-premise on your computer, 2 minutes later, it's changed in Office 365, and you will always have the same password for all your services. This is called same sign-on. Same sign-on. Same sign-on is a very lean in infrastructure and complexity. You will not have to have additional hardware that does some complex stuff. You only need this directory synchronization with password synchronization, and you can start using the services. If you would like to have a little bit more, then you will implement Active Directory Federation services, where you then authenticate no longer to Office 365 Azure Active Directory, but you are redirected to your own Active Directory, and the authentication process goes against your Active Directory on-premise through Active Directory Federation services. Then the authentication cookie is given to the user from your on-premise Active Directory, but still, of course, you can use the services as they were before. And just for you to know, the people that had to do with SharePoint and ADFS, you can always change from same sign-on to single sign-on, so from Office 365 authentication to Active Directory Federation Service authentication, even if the people already have some data. In SharePoint on-premise today, that's not so easy. If you change to ADFS, then your IDs are changed, and you have to migrate it, and it's quite complex. It's not like this in Office 365. Whether you have S, same sign-on, or single sign-on with ADFS, you can do it whenever you want. You can start with the one and then go more complex. Here, again, the things that you have for the Azure Active Directory and synchronization. And let me give you a quick demo here. We have an installation where we did this exactly, where we synchronized with Active Directory. I hope it works without a problem. And there it's even a bit more cloud. So the Azure Active Directory even is a virtual machine being in Windows Azure. And the directory synchronization server is also a server in Windows Azure. Well, here we are coming. Here is the Active Directory, so you can see you have this management console of your directory. You have some domains that are joined to the directory, and then of course you have also to say that you would like to synchronize. That part is here. You have to activate that domain to be synchronized with a local Active Directory. And when I go back here, I will not go into detail because we will not have too much time to go into detail here. We have this domain controller virtual machine and the directory synchronization virtual machine. And they then synchronize these identities to the Azure Active Directory that we can find here below, Azure Active Directory. And of course, if I go inside of it, it is showing me the people, and these people are coming. As you can see, I can't change anything. I cannot change their name or something because the source is the local Active Directory that could be in your basement or a Windows Azure virtual machine. So, what does change on the desktop applications? It's the Office 365 Pro Plus. I was talking about that already a little bit. So, there is the Office Mobile. There is the Office for Windows. There is the Office for Mac. We still want some installations on our devices. I work very few with Word Online, for example. Probably others do more. But I work with my Word that I have installed on my laptop or on my tablet or wherever I work. So I think it's a good thing still to have Office installed on my computer, and that's what the most people think and what the most enterprises do. Office 365 Pro Plus gives me the possibility to have an Office installation that is based on subscription. This subscription gives me the possibility to always have the newest application. It gives me the possibility to delegate the installation to the users if I want, and if I don't want, I still can do some distribution from the Office applications through my infrastructure. So how did we do it until now? We had some assets, some PC. Mostly it was a Windows PC. We had some deployment infrastructure, SMS or whatever you use. You had some volume licensing server where you had the licenses, where you downloaded the sources, you deployed it to the PC, and for the home user, you had the Office Home User Program, if you were licensed to have that, and the people could download their own Office from there. New, the only thing that is new now is that you can distribute from Office 365 Center directly. So you could there say, okay, I push it out to the client via several possibility, and it will install in the background. There were some big projects at Swisscom, like 2 years ago, where it was very new that you could distribute Office 365 directly through GPOs from the Office 365 Pro Plus service or network. And what is also new is that a license from Office 365 Pro Plus is always 5 licenses per user, and he can install it on private devices. It can be installed on company devices. So like this, you can just go to the portal and say, hey, I would like to download another copy of Office to my private laptop at home. And there is no licensing piracy or something. There is no conflict. They can use up to 5 licenses, and they are registered in their profile. And you can, of course, always stay up to date with your Office version. Let me quickly show you how this looks like. In my settings, I have a tab that is called software, and it says install and manage software. Every user can do that. And I can see, oh, I have my Office here, 1, 2, 3, 4. So on 4 devices, I have installed my Office. I have 1 instance left. 1 is from my wife, 1 is my own, 1 is my company laptop. So like this, I always see where it is installed. I can also deactivate it and say, okay, for that device, I don't want to use it anymore. I want to install it on another laptop. And from here, I can then say which language I would like to install. All the languages are here. And I can then go and say install, and it will install on my computer the latest Office version. By the way, try the next version of Office. If you have checked that all the new things should be deployed to you as soon as possible, then you get some new things very early. So like this, we could here in our company even start to check out Office 2016 preview directly from our Office 365 management panel. And this is my personal management panel. You can enable it, and you can also disable some stuff. Like this, you have a very easy deployment of Office also for the personal use. Now, how will I work in Office 365? Of course, we will have mail. Mail, from an end user perspective, it just has to work. It always looks the same. It was always the same since years. I want to receive and send messages. There is nothing to say about. But there are other productivity tools that I have in Office 365 that are part of SharePoint that will make a very big benefit for my personal use and also for the company use. So I have SharePoint file sharing. I have the OneDrive for business that could also be hybrid installation with my on-premise SharePoint. More about that tomorrow in the hybrid session. The OneDrive for business is more about my personal productivity. Everybody knows Dropbox. And to be honest, your company can have an all-cloud strategy. If you would measure the network, what goes to what cloud services, you would probably be surprised, because the people start using things on their own. If they don't get the right tools from their company, they will just start and go and use Dropbox and Google Docs and all these cloud services, and you will just not know. So why not give the people some cloud resources like OneDrive for Business? There they have an experience like they already know it from Dropbox, but it is under your control with your identities. If it should not be used anymore, you can turn off the identity, and the access to the OneDrive for Business is also ended. So it's better to have some cloud resources under your control than cloud resources that you don't have under your control and that are anyway used, whether you have a policy to not use cloud resources or you don't. One part of the SharePoint thing is, of course, the self-service BI. This is a very, very big word, self-service BI. It has its own topic. At the end, it is on how to find data and how to visualize data. So you can build dashboards on SharePoint that connect to other services that could show you your financial data, for example, in very nice graphs. And Power BI, for example, is then you can go and just type in a phrase. Show me sales for this region for the last quarter. You just type in that sentence, and SharePoint and Excel will do the rest for you and show you the right data. One very new investment in Office 365 is, for example, also Office 365 Video Portal. You can upload videos to SharePoint. You can have channels. These channels can be named. You can upload, for example, in a product channel, you have product XYZ. You just create with few clicks a channel for product XYZ and upload all the videos to that product. People are more and more using and consuming videos, so it would be good if you had some kind of video portal for corporate videos, some learning videos, how-to videos, training videos, product videos, whatever comes into your mind what a video could be used for. And you will see, as soon as you make these videos available to the people, they will also go and look inside of it. One very big investment is also Delve. So we have so much information in emails, in documents, in other conversations on Yammer, in spreadsheets, in personal relationships. And bringing this all together is the task of Delve. For example, I have a colleague that works in my team. There is some data I would have read access to. In my emails, I was talking a lot about a specific product, and now my colleague creates a document with the same product name or with the same product named inside of the document. And now Delph goes and says, ah, okay, this is a team member. He writes about the same as you write in some other email or document or conversation on Yammer. This might be related. So he shows you, hey, your colleague is working on that topic. That might be interesting for you. Of course, all the topic you see needs to be a topic where you have at least read access. So I will never see an email of my colleague where I should not have access to, of course, just because it would match to the things that I have access to. So Delph is the thing that is called machine learning that brings together all this information, mashes it up, calculates all the social distances we have to it. So are our colleagues working on that? Are our project members working on that? Am I member of a group dealing with that? And like this, I have the possibility to find content easier and quicker. How can I use SharePoint? Of course, I can use SharePoint on-premise. This is the base layer to use some SharePoint stuff. For example, the video portal I will not have in a SharePoint on-premise environment. Delph I will have in an on-premise environment if I do hybrid search. Hybrid search will also be a topic of tomorrow. The next stage, how I could do SharePoint in the cloud is, of course, that I go and say, hey, I have Windows Azure virtual machines, and on these virtual machines, I install my SharePoint. As you might know, you can have virtual machines with solid-state storage, so you will also not have an I/O problem if you host SharePoint databases in a Windows Azure environment. And of course, the last full cloud step is SharePoint online in Office 365. Now, there was always a big discussion, I can't have customizations in SharePoint online. That's why I need a SharePoint on-premise. That's not true anymore. There are customizations through the SharePoint app model that gives me the possibility to have full-blown applications that even connect or have their own databases, for example, in Windows Azure, that have nothing to do with SharePoint than that they integrate in SharePoint. They use the authorization of SharePoint, and they can give things back into SharePoint. So, for example, we built, I can't show you because we don't have access anymore, we built an application for a company where they had an Office 365 SharePoint site. They could launch their brochure generator. There was a dialogue asking them, okay, from what country to what country do you want to send with what services? And at the end of the selection is taken out of an Azure database. The UI is built into Office 365 SharePoint. Then we have some web service to a Windows Azure virtual machine where we send some XML data. There we have a generator software that generates the document for the selection the customer made and send this document back to SharePoint in a document library, and then after a few seconds say, hey, your document has been generated. It lies here in that SharePoint library. So you go to SharePoint, you select, you get your response back to SharePoint, but behind of that is a universe of services and workload and appliances that make sure that you get what you really need. So for the end user, very simple, and for the IT, as complex as it needs to be. Sometimes it needs to be a little bit more complex, sometimes less. How does SharePoint look like in a deployment? You have several data centers where you then have the content spread and split it and made sure that you have all your content reliable and fast. And of course, you have the whole management stack beside of it to make sure that the service is 99.9% availability. So, if you have one database, then you have your content once, and your fault tolerance is zero. If you say, OK, I'm going to have a RAID 10, then your copy count is 2, and your fault tolerance is on disk level. If you say, OK, let's go and do some additional synchronous mirroring on databases, then you are on rack level security. If you say, OK, I'm going to go into another building with asynchronous log shipping, you are on data center fault tolerance with a 6 copy count. If you go on and then do again backups and asynchronous replication, then you are up to 10. And like this, you can make sure that you have several stages where your data is lying, and that's exactly what Office 365 does. It has synchronous and asynchronous log shipping to different locations to make sure that you have geo-redundancy. For example, in Amsterdam and Dublin are 2 data centers, so if you have your data on Europe, then you will have spread your data in Dublin and Amsterdam and back it up and RAID 10. And if you see the recycle bin, that's just another stage of security. If a user deletes something from SharePoint, it is not falling out of SharePoint. It's just going into a recycled bin, and it stays there for another 90 to 180 days. It depends what you have selected. So let me show you a little bit of the SharePoint and OneDrive stack. I show it on our own live data. So if I go here and say, hey, I would like to see the about me, then I come into the Office 365 profile page. The profile page shows my picture and shows some contact information and shows my birthday and things like that. And of course, on the left side, I see people that are important to me. So these are the people I have the most contact with. So I can directly go to my colleague, to David Föge, and say, hey, I would like to message you. And then it will open me directly my Skype for Business and directly opens a conversation. Now my colleague is on vacation. I, of course, see directly, oh, he is offline since 4 days, so I don't have to try to communicate to him at the moment. If I go home, I am on the Delve profile. This is what I said before. So, for example, here, let me see. Ah, okay, David Föge, he is my colleague. And we have here a document that could be interesting for me. That is called Office 365 for Schools. This is really important for me because we were working together on some offers for schools, but I didn't know that he saved this PDF to Office 365. And like this, because we were working on the same topics, Delve shows me things that could be interesting for me, and I could go here, of course, and now directly open that document. It was even saved in the personal storage of David Föge, but in the part where everybody has access to. So my profile always has a part where everybody has access to, and if I would like to share some information with everybody, then I can still save it personally, but in a place where everybody has access to them. So it is not loading at the moment. It's just a PDF. It might be quite big. That might be the problem. This is the Delve part. Now I can, of course, go to my OneDrive part. This, by the way, is the app launcher. Sorry to be so quick. The app launcher for me is that much everyday food that I just go over it and click. This is the app launcher that gives me the possibility to navigate. And the app launcher is built like that, that he only gives me things I can do. For example, I am a tenant administrator for our Office 365 tenant, so I can go to the administration part, sorry. I could not if I wouldn't have management possibilities. Then I can go to CRM because I have added the CRM license and so on, and I only see it because I really have access to it. So let's quickly go to my OneDrive. My OneDrive is my personal storage. There is one folder that is called, it's shared for everybody. It's there where I found the document of David before. He saved it for everybody to be read, at least. And I also see here on the right side directly that it is shared. I see these two people, and I see the word shared. It's German here, sorry for that. And for example, here I have a folder that is called share. I use that to demonstrate some things. The three dots always mean there is more to come. And I go to the three dots, and I say, I would like to share this with David. So I can enter David, and I will not send him a mail now because he might mean that he needs to do something. I can share it. I can also say whether he can edit or just show. Then I say share, and that's all I have to do. I invited David to work on that share. Now I see it is shared with David. I can click to that icon with the two heads, and here I can say, hey, don't share anymore with David, save and close, and immediately when I close here, I see it's only shared with me. So this is personal productivity. This is the Dropbox experience. I can also go and say, I have here a document and I would like to share it, and the share should be only a URL. So I can generate a view URL and a edit URL. So people having this URL will be able to see. People who have this URL will be able to edit. And I could even then say that could be people outside of my company. So I can also deactivate the link again. Like this, again, nobody has access. Even if I had a link before, it's not usable anymore. We are coming to the end of time. Unfortunately, it's not the end of the session, but I don't have time anymore to show you everything. I quickly want to show you also how Exchange Online is built. There are many, many, many partitions spread over many locations to make sure that mail is always reliable. And you have millions of users, and you have millions and millions and millions of emails every day going out and in. So to manage that is quite complex. And what Microsoft does, it does a loose coupling also to other services so that you always have the possibility also to interact with services, mail and SharePoint and Link, and how you do the management of that many transactions, you have to automate. So Microsoft does some scanning for failures. It repairs automatically if possible, and if not possible, it automatically escalates to the engineers. We are at the System Center Universe. I think you know what I am talking about. To migrate your emails, there are several possibilities. We cannot go into details because we are running out of time, but you will get the slides. You can go by IMAP migration, you can go by cutover, or you can go by hybrid, having on-premise and Office 365 mailboxes seamless moved from one to the other. No time for demo here. What are the management options? Option one is, of course, the admin center I already showed you before. I can't show it to you in detail anymore. Sorry for that. And option two is PowerShell. I have you here the example of a PowerShell, how to connect to Exchange Online. You need to install the Windows Azure management tools for PowerShell, and then you can connect to MS OL service. There you can manage the Windows Azure Active Directory. You can connect to ASP.OL service. There you can create new site collections in SharePoint and things like that. Or you can connect to Exchange. There you can manage your mailboxes, and you can do very, very much with automation, with management, and so on with PowerShell. So also the cloud can be managed by PowerShell. Also here, sorry to have no demo. And if you want to see more about hybrid, I will have a session tomorrow also with some demos about how you could use SharePoint hybrid, SharePoint Search hybrid, Active Directory Federation Service, so Azure AD hybrid, and really connect your enterprise hybrid and go with some services or all the services on the cloud. Thank you very much, and at the end, thank you also to our sponsors.